In Galatians, we find this one line. For freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. Then he continues, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. Where was I? Of course, I remember now, I was saying on July 3rd of last year, on this Sunday, you remember, right, that sermon? And I don't think I finished exactly the points that I wanted to make. You know why? Because freedom is a tricky thing, isn't it? Think about it. Freedom is a tricky thing. Our own declaration of independence is an example of that. You know how that declaration came about? They were writing this constitution and they needed to have an exclamation point that would say why they were writing a constitution. So what did they do? Oh, you know. They formed a committee. It was Adams and Franklin and Jefferson and these two other guys. And in the end, they told Thomas Jefferson to do the first draft, and they would kind of edit it and all of that, and he did. And when they got through editing it, they took out like a fourth of what he had written, and he was not happy about that at all. But what we were left with begins with these wonderful words. All right, they're close to the beginning. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those words, I mean, they kind of surround us and our nation, don't they? We are founded on those principles. I have some questions this morning that I don't think I answered last year, and I didn't really come up with some good answers. So help me out here, would you? This is one of those can we talk times. Question number one. How does, if we are free and endowed by our Creator, how does the Creator endow us with freedom? The first words out of Kathy's mouth exactly got it right. Free will. Remember when we talked about that wonderful, awful gift that we were given? That wonderful, awful gift of free will. I want you to think about it for a moment. Think about the passage in Genesis right in the beginning, or not exactly the beginning because it created the world. Okay, think about when Adam and Eve came along. Where were they? In the Garden of Eden. How was the Garden of Eden? Perfect. Perfect in every way, right? Did they toil? No. They didn't toil for their sustenance. It was just everything was perfect. What decisions did they have to make? Not a thing. Did they? Think about it. Okay. And you don't have to answer this out loud if you don't want to. If you were given the choice right now, God could pick you up and drop you in that Garden of Eden, and it would be exactly like it was described in the book of Genesis, would you do it? I see some of you just, everything nice and perfect and all. You know, the fact that you can weigh those decisions is a result of your free will. We wouldn't give that up, would we? We simply would not give up our free will. So that's one question. That's where that endowed with comes from. When we got to where we could make decisions about our own well-being. At the first, in the earliest days of humanity, there was what was actually called a tribal consciousness. The individual really didn't have a consciousness at all. It was all the tribe, called corporate personality. All the anthropologists tell you that somewhere around 10,000 to 15,000 years ago, that corporate personality of only the tribe started to fracture just a little bit into touches of individualism. And at that point, free will took on a whole new life. Okay, well good, y'all checked one of my questions off. Second question. What are the legitimate limits on our freedom? Okay, Forrest, I'll go with that. Okay, so it's like someone said, pointed out that the freedom of your fist stops at the point of my nose. Is that kind of what you mean? Okay. And so that's, the limits are by prohibition, right? Well, then we're not free. Then we're not absolutely free, are we? No, of course not. Of course not. So those limits are imposed by whom? Yeah. We gather together and we say that we like our freedom, but we don't want the chaos that absolute freedom would make happen, do we? And so the dilemma or the challenge is, where on that scale do we put it? For instance, there are people in this nation and on the planet who, through no fault of their own, simply don't have enough foods to sustain them at all. And children die of hunger. We know that. We read about famines in the Sudan. We read about that. Question. Should we be compelled to feed those who can't feed themselves? Oh, you're getting tricky on me. Sarah said, by your conscience. Then your answer would be no, right? Okay. Okay, so we shouldn't be compelled to feed people who can't feed themselves. Doesn't somehow that even if your answer is that's right, it does grate on you, doesn't it? The notion that there are people who simply don't have enough to eat and we are not compelled to feed them. And compassion and conscience, same thing, yeah. So we are... are you sure, Lenore? Compelled is the wrong word? What would a better word be? Forced, which is compelled. And I made that word specifically because we are at a national level, we are compelled to do some of that, aren't we? We already are compelled. Some of the food that we wind up getting into the food pantry comes from federal programs. Who pays for those federal programs? You and me. Did you decide to pay for that program? In a way you did, didn't you? Yeah, in a way you did. But it's still a compulsion. What I'm talking about here is the tricky relationship between freedom and society and religion. Okay, another question. What do you think? Was Jesus more of a rabbi or a revolutionary? You know what I mean when I say rabbi, right? Rabbi literally means teacher. Was Jesus more of a teacher or a revolutionary? Okay, yeah, and I think that's right. I think that's right. I think he was more, personally, I think he was more of a revolutionary than our documents portray. When our New Testament documents were written, the earliest of them, almost a full generation after his crucifixion and resurrection, okay? And they were continued for another 50 years, the writing of them. And I think at some point, even in our sacred writings, they were influenced by the thought processes going on at the time. Unless you believe in that notion that somehow that God dictated every word literally, and that's okay if you do, you may be right. I'm going to have some explaining to do at the pearly gates if that's it. But isn't that true that, okay, if things were written that long afterwards, I don't think they're angry at me. I think they're going to fix us brunch. Or they're angry and they're going to fix brunch. And they have the, oh, Joan, well played. And they have the freedom to do that. Oh, man. I knew this would get out of hand, but that's okay. Okay. Can the lack of physical freedom take away your spiritual freedom? No. Remember Paul and Paul and others chained to the walls singing hymns. That's kind of what that. Okay. So freedom is dependent in the end on God. Well, that's funny, isn't it? That's where I started this discussion, and I wasn't sure that I was right. But I am. And that brings that sentence, for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free, into a new focus, because we have been set free by the graceful gifts of God, and we exercise that freedom physically in different manifestations and at different levels. Some of us are more free to do things than others. But the freedom, the notion of freedom, the gift of freedom, was a gift of God to us in creation. Last question. What is an appropriate response to the freedom that Christ offers? For the passage went, for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. What is the appropriate response to that? Oh, ooh, I like that. Choose wisely. Oh, man. Forrest, you got, yeah. A motivation to help others. Okay. So, okay. But it's not like we're doing this for the reward. Okay. I'm going to work my way into the kingdom via the glory train by doing all of these good deeds. And I'm going to count them up. And when I got enough, ta-da, got a ticket. Is that the way it works? No. Okay, we have internalized And I like that too. That's kind of what Forrest was getting at in choosing wisely, is that rabbi and revolutionary, both of those things that Jesus was, hopefully we have internalized in a way that an old monk put it on it: Christ in me, Christ above me, Christ under me, Christ around me, you know, everywhere. And that's what that means. And so our appropriate response to the gift of freedom is to become little Christs. That was in the words of the monk that said that, is to become little Christs. Freedom has been a difficult subject for our republic ever since its inception, has it not? And we still struggle with those issues and questions of who is politically free, not having anything to do with our spiritual nature, but just politically free. But our spiritual nature informs how we make those political decisions. Do you believe that?
I do.
Jesus was bound and beaten and nailed to a cross, but he was never more free than when he said of his own, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," for freedom's sake. Amen.